Wow. There it is. Man, it's Busted Pencils, and you know it is class in session.
That's right.
Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Dr. Johnny Lupinacci, Jacob, chairman of the board, me, Dr. Tim Sucker. We are here. We are ready to bring it on. Teaching, you know, it's classes in session. Got a little something to teach. Johnny, you brought a piece of information to us, you know, pre-show we were looking at. I brought a piece of information. And believe it or not, we're going to make these two pieces of information fit together in a neat and tidy lesson for you, the listener.
Hey, love that.
Like that, you know, and Jacob has given us that look of going, I don't know if they can pull it off, man. Jacob, I can see you, buddy.
Tim, I'm excited. Usually, you know, neat and tidy would be great. We're usually more in the long and meandering side of things. But if you're thinking neat and tidy, I'm pretty excited to see what you guys have ready to cook here.
Johnny's like, long and meandering. Wait. Well, you know, occasionally we can get right at it. But Johnny, I mean, okay. So let's, you know, as you point out, near and dear to my heart.
Yeah.
Teachers, how they're feeling, but Education Week published a new survey, not just of American teachers, but worldwide teachers and what they're thinking, how they're feeling about their job and what's going on. Are American teachers worse off than our global counterparts? You know, and right there, I'm going to call, well, what part of the globe are you talking about, right? Because it kind of gives us some general statistics, but I'm concerned with over generalizing outside of the United States as a single other entity that can, quote, give us a sense of how globally teachers are feeling. Johnny, that's my first concern right there.
Yeah. Well, I think in general, you know, headlines can be the opposite of long and meandering and also words illuminate some things and hide other things. I think when they put globally in the heading, I think, you know, they weren't really clear about that. They were referring to the OECD or the Convention on the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development. Mm-hmm. Which is 38 countries that I think, like Tim, good point, don't really represent the globe, right? Austria, Belgium, Canada, Denmark, France, West Germany, Greece, Iceland, Ireland, Italy, Luxembourg, Netherlands, Norway, Portugal, Spain, Sweden, Switzerland, Turkey, the UK, and our very own near and dear to us, United States. So 38, you know, so again, as geography teachers, as social studies guys, you know, one of those misuses of global. But, you know, in comparison with those countries, it piqued interest in me. Because okay. We've talked so much about like teacher demoralization in this country, teacher labor. We also talked about the joys of teaching and get to talk with so many wonderful educators that stay in the profession, but do very much talk about how it's harder and harder to do. And they see more and more people leaving the profession. And this article spoke to both, right? It had some shocking things in here, but also, you know, came right out of the gate saying that young teachers in the United States are among the most likely to leave the profession, which we've always kind of known, right? Like 1 to 3 years is that zone where we lose a lot of people who chose to become teachers. Like they switch professions.
I saw that and went, well, geez, if they'd have looked at my 2019 teacher exodus self-published study across all of my Busted Pencils school teacher exodus blogs, they would have known that back then, Johnny.
That's why I sent it to him. This is so near and dear to Tim's, you know, more qualitative investigation into how do teachers feel? Why are so many teachers pushed out of the profession?
But, you know, even that pushed out seems, actually, that might be a new way to look at it today, because I have a feeling that that hold what you say pushed out in 2019 up until, you know, maybe even recently as 2000 post pandemic, I would say most teachers that I talked to and spent a lot of time with, and it was like 450 of them nationally that sent me data about that it wasn't that there was an entity that was pushing them out. It was just a sense that the system actually was stacked in a way that it didn't value the work, the professionalization, the the wisdom of teachers. And I said, if I could sum it up very quickly, about 90% of those 400 plus teachers across the country said, just let me teach. Mm-hmm. Just let me teach. And I'm now thinking about that and wondering, Johnny, you know, so it hasn't changed because we know that, but you had a new complexity there about being pushed out, because I feel like that's actually a newer phenomenon, and that it's probably exacerbating teacher demoralization.
Well, sure. And I don't mean to, like, more like you're referring to it systemically, right?
Yeah.
Like just the day in and day out. I used to call it school seeps in. It's sort of like getting sick. You breathe it in so much that you start doing it, even when you know better, right? Those old habits of mind and just the routine of schooling. We talk about that a lot here on Busted Pencils, the difference between education or being engaged as a learner, you know, versus the routine of schooling. Right. That whole sort of like factory model of education where, well, of course, the bell rings and we get in our seats and the teacher talks for 50 minutes and then we turn something in. And hopefully we did it right. Not saying that that's what happens in every classroom, but, you know, that's my gross approximation of what's constantly this black hole force of schooling pulling us towards teaching that way, even when we know better. So I would always say schooling seeps in. Right. Like you breathe it in, it permeates the buildings, the structures. And Tim, I think it has gotten a lot harder for teachers. Like, yeah. You know, with like you've said it before, increased standardized testing, increased standardized curriculums, the sort of enforcing of you must follow these things. And I like how you sum it up. So many great educators out there who said, you know, I just got tired of not being able to teach. So no one said, well, guess what? You're out next year, because these are good teachers who are making right. That difficult choice, but they're really, I kind of use that phrase, like they're pushed out of the profession because they really feel like what they were called to do, they're not able to do. And they enjoy that. There's a calling to being an educator, to be present at the like experience of new ideas, new connections. Right. And if they can't do those things, it's like, well, why am I doing this?
And you know, that was not addressed in this survey was that thing, you know. So again, back to the survey, guess what? American teachers feel more stressed. What are those things? Well, it is, guess what? On top of the things that Johnny and I just said that aren't mentioned in there, incredible amounts of procedural types of paperwork, documentation, constantly just piling up. I mean, you know, the amount of time you get to actually, I talked to teachers, that the amount of time I spend in front of my students seems to have diminished over the 20 years, largely in place of or being replaced by busy work, paperwork, assessment, accounting, recounting, all of those things. And guess what? This study points that out, that, you know, there's just too much work to do. And I would say there's probably too much work to do that's non-teaching related. My biggest, though, surprise, Johnny, in this survey, before we blend it into the other story, is that globally, teachers are satisfied with their pay.
Yeah, across the OECD. I was pretty shocked by this too, Tim, because we talk with a lot of teachers and ourselves experience being educators, you know, and just, you know, it's all public information anyway. So I'll disclose, you know, like, especially in a state where like I'm pretty far along in my teaching career. And as an educator of teachers, I do make considerably less than a teacher with my experience in schools. So it's just, it's pretty shocking to me to hear that when over and over again, and I happen to know this for so many people across our country, because I'm in the state of Washington, generally pays its teachers quite high, maybe even the highest in the country overall. But across our country, we know that teachers are, especially early childhood educators,
right,
some of the lowest paid professions out there, right? And so I have met many a great teachers who have had to make the financial decision to do other work. Because they have responsibilities to family or even their own livelihoods that require a higher pay than teaching. So I was like kind of dumbfounded by this survey across, again, remember those 38 countries, not really the globe.
No, not really the globe. But again, like you said, maybe it is anecdotally, but I have more teachers that, you know, hey, after school, after all the paperwork, you know, I'm going to bartend, I'm going to wait tables. And you'd say why? They're like, well, because my salary doesn't pay the bills.
Yeah.
So, hey, Ed Week, can you check your numbers on that one? Or it wasn't Ed Week. It was the survey, as you said, the OECD. But that one, you know, again, satisfied. I think you're right, though, Johnny. Maybe potentially if you're talking to people who've maybe been in the profession 20 in the 30 year range, if they've lasted that long, they're probably, you know, as you point out, they're making more money than you, my friend.
Well, yeah. And the other thing that was interesting to me was the average age of the teaching profession is between 43 and 45.
Yeah.
And I thought that, like, that's very interesting. Like, a majority of teachers, you know, kind of fall in that range of in their 40s. So, I mean, nothing wrong with being in your 40s as someone, you know, wrapping that decade up pretty soon here. But, you know, I just thought, wow, that's really surprising to me as well. So interesting, you know, information coming out of that survey.
Do you think that age is like, so the survey in the article frames it as, you know, that our teachers are younger, younger than globally again, but it's, you know, like 45 for America and 47. So I don't know. I think that's a wash. But is 45, if you think about it, if you started teaching at 22 and the average teacher's 45 years old, that doesn't sound like the teaching force is too young to me.
No. You know,
no. I mean, you know what? Producer Jacob, what do you think?
Tim, as somebody who is in his 20s, I would say that a teaching force average age in the mid-40s is not exactly that young. And I was also a little bit surprised reading that article because, as you said, they framed it as the European average is 47. The United States is 45. Whoa, what's that all about? Why are they so young in the United States? And 45 did not sound that young to me, and a two-year difference in your big survey of all teachers did not seem like a huge difference. I don't know if that really made sense to me.
Yeah,
coming from their data set.
Well, and interestingly enough, too, Tim, this might be part of it.
Yeah,
one in five teachers in the United States, became a teacher through what we would consider an alternate pathway or an alternate program.
Right.
Like a condensed, you know, accelerated pathway to the career, which probably means like second career folks or different pathways. We've talked a lot about that on the show, but one in five compared to veteran teachers, you know, I guess they're a longer experienced demographic taking the survey was one in 10. Mm. So these alternate pathways are certainly more available and maybe even, you know, more desirable to folks.
So all of this is, you know, interesting data points. But, you know, sweeping, though, again, is that guess what? Dissatisfaction is there with American teachers, there globally. And, you know, like any report that names all of the things that are wrong, how do we fix this? How do we solve this problem? Well, Johnny, I think Iceland, and again, I think
there's an interesting pivot.
I would think, you know, and I think Iceland qualifies as global.
Hey, they're in the they're in the OECD, okay. The Convention on the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development.
There you go. Are they saying, you know what, we're taking this seriously? Because it was just announced that they are the first country to get into partnership with Anthropic. And if anybody's going, Anthropic, that's Claude AI for you people. And as Johnny will tell you, that's his favorite AI, Claude.
I mean, I've experimented with it a bit and found it to be quite useful. And in fact, have it as like, you know, part of teaching teachers right now. Like, how do we, you know, engage in teaching students to work with AI? But how are we also examining and reading about tools for our profession and teaching, and Claude being one of those powerful tools to assist teachers in a lot of ways that we're still learning how to use. And we've had some great shows recently in the past about, you know, some of the ethics around that, like making sure to maintain anonymity of your students and things, but some really great ways teachers are looking to like adapt lesson plans or differentiate instruction or create individualized, you know, lesson plans and pathways for students and interests. I mean, it definitely, I think, is changing our labor. You know, it's not replacing us as teachers, but it's changing the labor. And so, you know, this article that you sent, Tim, I was kind of interested and excited, saying, was it Iceland is basically providing, you know, Claude, you know, a form of AI, I think a pretty responsible and like strong tool out there, but it's behind a paywall, but, you know, providing accounts to utilize it for all their teachers in that country. So
all their teachers, all their students. And this is, you know, in collaboration, the Minister of Education and Children in Iceland. In fact, according to Gudmundur Ingi Kristjansson, artificial intelligence is here to stay. It is developing at a tremendous pace, and it's important to harness its power while at the same time preventing harm. And then he goes on to say, here, to be in Iceland, we take the leap and embark on an ambitious project aimed at examining the use of artificial intelligence in various areas of education, with teachers being the guiding principals using this technology. Johnny, I got to say right there, just a slight meander. Hey, guess what? That sounds to me like they appreciate their teachers in Iceland.
Maybe. I mean, the other article told us that globally, teachers in general feel less valued by society. And one of the generalizing ways they feel less valued is that they really collectively feel like they don't have a lot of voice in educational policy. Mm-hmm. So maybe if that comes from teachers, like teachers are saying, hey, what would really help us is access to a powerful tool, you know, that brings some labor changes to us, that helps free us up to do more of the things we love to do with students, that then maybe in Iceland, if that's where it's coming from. But, you know, it could just be another version of, like, I know teacher Joanna would always speak about this now, Dr. Joanna, which is a beautiful thing. And she'd always say, we forget so often to listen to teachers.
Right.
And even with the best of intentions, and I don't know where this originated in Iceland, but, you know, maybe some researchers and some policymakers said, well, you know what will help the teachers? And they could be right. Like, this is a powerful tool to help teachers. But if it's not something that teachers are saying, hey, you know what would help us, it could be contributing that to that collective sense of feeling less valued in society now more than ever, and linking that to a lack of voice in policy and educational policy across all 38 of those countries that seem, at least from the report in the survey, you know, shared to be a commonality or a theme. And I think that one does ring congruent or in harmony. I don't know if you can use quite congruent with sounds, but at least in resonance or harmony.
Yeah, I was right, like, isn't that a math term?
Yeah. And I was going to send, like, Be grateful, Tim. I was going to send you an article about teaching mathematics with AI because I thought this is going to short circuit Tim because he's going to despise the math part but love the AI part. But it was pretty cool stuff about a pre-calc teacher who was teaching a machine learning class as part of his pre-calc. Really cool stuff. Maybe we'll get to it in another episode. But yeah, Tim, I really think this bringing us back around full circle. You know, I think it's a powerful tool. You think it's a powerful tool. Are teachers asking for that? Maybe. Mm. You know, will it help change their labor? I think yes. I think ultimately they'll be happy with it.
Yeah, I think right there on the labor thing, I think, you know, you and I are at the point now to say, look, it can definitely help out in the labor category. So if you haven't tried that out, And I got to say, you know, I would hope and think and even project that Iceland is taking the more of a teacher-centered view on this just because we kind of know that the Nordic countries themselves just have a much more, you know, bigger sense of education and the child and the professionalism. You know, thinking like, you know, our friends and listeners in Finland, you know, we know you guys are out there. Actually, John, I was thinking maybe if the Finnish friends would reach out to the Icelanders, maybe Johnny, Jacob, and Tim can go and check out AI use in the country of Iceland and report right from Iceland. So Finnish listeners, if you're out there and you have connections, and actually if you're one of those, you know, a couple people in Iceland who we know listen, Johnny, Tim, and Jacob would love to come out and see what Anthropic and teaching in Iceland would look like.
Well, Tim, I think you just proposed something here. We might have to look into that. And I was actually just talking to our Finnish listener friends just the other day. So I think we're overdue, long overdue for them to be on the show. So let's get it moving. Let's bring them on. Let's reach out and let's maybe take a little field trip. Yeah. A little experiential learning, you know, AI in Iceland. I think that Tim, you could spearhead that and Jacob and I write us in. We'll certainly make
some
time together.
It's going to be Iceland now.
AI Iceland.
Because with this incredible innovation and, you know, Tim, Johnny, when I think about who's brave, who's willing to try new things, who's willing to venture out into the unknown, I think Vikings, okay? Yeah. And it, you know, Eric the Red, he settled Iceland, it worked out. We'll see if it's like that or if it's more like Leif Erikson going to Newfoundland didn't work out so well. But they're trying new things, and that's part of that spirit of Iceland. I appreciate. I have one question, though, Tim.
Yes,
Jake. Did the article get into what they are using Claude for?
Well, let's be honest here through reading. This was a press release coming from Anthropic.
Okay.
So it is largely
TBD. It's TBD.
And why would Anthropic put this out there? Hey, it's good press for them. It's advertising. You know, we're going to have to look a little bit here. Education's pioneering education pilot builds upon a growing number of governments partnering with Anthropic across Europe and beyond. So it's a largely a pitch piece from Anthropic.
They're excited about it. And I think there's some, you know, some merit to this excitement. We'll see what develops, what grows. Tim, but you never know. And it reminds me, and I actually have come a long way on my stance on AI, you know that. And I think this is actually a pretty powerful tool that teachers, you know, need to be engaged with learning how it's changing the way that our students learn, how it's changing the roles we're in as teachers. Again, not replacing us, but a new powerful tool. Different than many of the other technologies. But similar, Tim, I'm reminded of a story of being a young math teacher in Detroit a few decades ago now. But there was a press release from a company, BlackBerry, about all the teachers would have BlackBerry devices in their hands, and this would revolutionize the classroom because it would streamline and speed up attendance and put information right in our hands. If we didn't know something, we could look it up immediately. If we needed to, you know, contact the office, we could contact the office. But we had these handheld devices, which were basically like prehistoric smartphones. But But, you know, I remember we would all joke about, like, has it changed much for you? No, I got this clipped on device, but you know, sometimes the technology has all the best of intentions and just falls flat. I would say by and large, that one fell flat, but I think this is different.
I think this is different. And, you know, hey, just, you know, one more quote. And this is, now this is from Anthropic. He is the head of public sector. Thiagu Ramaswamy says, for far too long, teachers have been weighed down by paperwork and administrative tasks, hidden burdens that pull them away from what they do best, teaching. Wow. So right there, acknowledging what they do best, teaching.
Yep.
Sounds to me like they read my work back in 2019, Johnny, when all those teachers said, just let me teach. And Iceland is saying, you know what? We're going to do that. We're going to bring teaching back. We're going to bring Claude, Anthropic together. Whew. Yeah, we got to do a show from Iceland. But now it's time for your moment of Zen. We all know individuals, most of them unsung, unrecognized, who have often, in the most modest ways, spoken out or acted on their beliefs for a more egalitarian, more just, peace-loving society.
Thank you, all you listeners out there in the peace-loving society, for listening to today to the Class in Session. And you can always grab great podcasts like this one. Just search Busted Pencils on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or of course, you can always find us on Civic Media or on our website at bustedpencils.com. And don't forget to find us throughout the week, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, with homerooms, classes in session, and always loads of fun to wrap up that work week on Fridays with producer Jacob's Choice. And listen up, Pencil Busters. You can always catch the Busted Pencils broadcast at 3 p.m. Central Time across all the Civic Media Network stations for one full hour of your favorite blue-collar scholars, Tim and Johnny, and keep busting pencils.